We are going to combine two of Flat Chat's favourite topics today in one.
What are those?
Airbnb and pets.
Oh, so we're only leaving out the other favourite one, which is parking. Can we not fit parking in there?
Oh, I'm sure we'll be able to find it. Well, we can talk about parking when we talk about our other topic, which is a sense of place and the government's plan to build more apartments around shopping centres. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
And I'm Sue Williams, and I write about property for the AFR, the Sydney Morning Herald, the Melbourne Age, and Domain.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap. Sue, you've been talking to people about a sense of place. I mean, what does that actually mean?
Well, it's the buzzword, I think, at the moment, really, placemaking. And it's about, you know, when we talk about apartments, we want a nice exterior, we want aesthetically pleasing, we want it to work, we want the layout to be good, we want the interiors to be nice, we want there to be green space nearby, we want it to have a bus stop or a train station not too far away. We want shops nearby. But the idea is that when you actually build an apartment building, you also look at the area that it's in and kind of try and work out things that everybody who lives there is going to need and things that can really activate that neighbourhood as well and really make it a much better place for everyone else. So it's not just looking at a single apartment or an apartment building. It's looking at the whole area. And that's kind of a loose explanation, I think, of kind of placemaking.
Yeah, it's a few buzzwords in there. Activating, what does that mean?
Just making a neighbourhood much more pleasant for people.
Does that mean a park?
It could be. It could be local transport. It could be a nice cafe there, that kind of thing. I mean, one of the leading people in this field, the Australian called Andrew Hoyan, who's just brought out a new book about placemaking. And I think he's written many times before about placemaking as well. He's got a company, which is a placemaker company called Hoyne. And he talks about how you kind of want to bring more joy to people's lives. You kind of want to really improve the quality of their lives and improve the quality of the experience of living in a certain development or project or neighbourhood.
Right.
So it's all about improving the neighbourhood, and you can do that in conjunction with building a new apartment building.
Right.
Kind of planning it really, really well.
Okay. So that does that mean facilities, or does it mean open space, or does it mean bigger apartments? Or
it means a bit of everything. It means a bit of tree cover on the streets outside. It means green space. It means cafes, shops, restaurants, bars nearby. Everything that people want to have access to, really. They'd like a supermarket nearby, which wouldn't be too far away, maybe even a bottle shop. A deli would be great, a flower shop, you know, all those kind of things that really improve the quality of one's life living in an area.
Now, I was just hearing on the radio the other day that there's been a survey done that has found a correlation between pregnant women getting too hot and premature births.
Yes, that's right. So there's also reports coming out now mapping heat areas in neighbourhoods as well.
Right.
And those areas, you know, probably in the west of Sydney, is probably an area where it's very hot. There's lots of tarmacked roads. There's not much tree cover. There's not so much green space kind of around. There are parks, but there's not a lot of green space integrated into housing developments. So they're kind of now mapping these heat areas and saying we really have to do something about them because they're just going to get worse and worse. You know, the climate's not going to improve any time soon, really.
No. So more green spaces, more trees.
Yep, that's
But, you know,
right.
A lot of these buildings are already built. They're not going to knock them down to put a park in, are they?
No, they're not, but they can actually beautify them in other ways. I mean, they can have plantings on the balconies. They can have plantings in courtyards. They can do lots of things, really.
Right.
You obviously can't do much about the orientation of a building, you know, which is really important when you build it in the first place, and maybe people didn't take so much notice of it back in the old days. But there's lots of things you can do now. You can bring in shading. Yeah.
And what about roof gardens? Is that a thing?
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge thing now, really. And I think Sydney is really kind of fallen behind with that. And also, well, actually nearly every Australian city has fallen behind.
Yep.
Because the Australian climate is so fabulous, you'd think that roof gardens would be perfect. You can get a nice view from there. The weather's often quite nice.
I mean,
it's not so great in some places at the moment. But they lend themselves perfectly to open spaces on the top of buildings. And it also really helps the sense of community in a building, because it's not only the people, the more wealthy people near the top of the building that have great views. It suddenly means that the people who have apartments on the lower levels also have access to a great view, because they can go up to the communal roof garden, or if there's maybe a pool up there or something like that, and really enjoy that too.
You mentioned shops and facilities. There's a report in the paper this week that the government, New South Wales government, is looking at relaxing height controls around shopping centres.
Mm.
So rather than taking the shopping centres to where there are, to the shops to where there are apartments, they're actually going to take apartments to where there are existing shops, even if they don't have those transport connections. Is this a good idea?
I think it is an excellent idea. I've been writing about mixed-use developments just lately as well.
Yeah.
And they're developments where you have apartments and you have maybe on the ground floor or the first floor or both.
Yeah.
You have lots of retail there as well. And it's fantastic, really, for the people who live in those apartments, because instead of coming out of their apartment, getting into their car and driving to a shopping centre, they just walk down or get the lift down and they've got shops there for them.
Right.
And that's so convenient. It's so fantastic being able to do that. And the good developments that they're finding out, a lot of people say this is the way of the future, really. And it's kind of like I talked to architect SJB, architect Adam Haddo, who's designed some of these mixed-use developments. And he says it's kind of going back to the past. In medieval times, people liked to live together in a community, and they liked to have, you know, stores there as well.
Right.
And now we're going back to that time. So we're not having retail just miles away and separate from where we live. We're having it all together. So the village is coming to us rather than us having to go to the village. And I think that's really interesting. And as you know, obviously, we live in a building very close to lots of shops. And that's one of the reasons we've been here so long, because it's so easy, it's so convenient, it's so simple.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking the new building just up the road from us, the Omnia, used to be a hotel. And when that was being built, we heard all these things about how the developers were going to curate fantastic shopping experiences. Now,
on the ground floor.
On the ground floor. If my memory serves me correctly, we have a KFC, we have Hungry Jack's, we have Zambrero Mexican restaurant.
All fast food places.
All fast food. The place on the corner that used to be the Goldfish Bowl, the legendary Goldfish Bowl bar. Yeah, is empty. And the first floor is a very kind of odd iteration of Woolworths, which just the ceiling feels too low.
It's very dark and dingy.
Dark and, yeah. Mm. And most of the product on sale is snack food, from what I can tell.
To suit the backpackers in the area, really.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. It doesn't even seem to do much. I know it does some, but it doesn't even seem to do much in that growing trend that you certainly see in the UK of people picking up instant meals. You know, I know that are around, but, you know, you go into a station in London and there's a Marks and Spencer's there, which is not selling underwear. It's selling instant food. You just take it home and heat it up, and wine.
Mm.
And basically, you get a special deal on your way home, bottle of wine and a dish of pasta. And who could not want that for their dinner? But we're getting here.
But I think with some of these new mixed-use developments, you know, it's taken trial and error, I think. And they were very slow to take off here, but they're now taking off in the last 5 to 10 years. And actually, developers are realizing the value of curating the retail experience downstairs, because they realize that if you have good retailers, then the building becomes more desirable.
Right.
People are attracted to the area. The developers can charge higher prices. The owners like living there more.
Mm-hmm.
And the investor owners have no trouble at all at attracting tenants and high rents and keeping tenants as well. So it's a long-term great investment to have really good shops curated there. And yeah. People are putting much more effort into that now. And there are people with a specialty of going out searching for the kind of shops that they want. And like in one building, they wanted a bottle shop.
Right.
And now sometimes you think, oh, do I want to live above a bottle shop? But this is kind of a really nice bottle shop that also has a deli.
Right.
And it's really upmarket as well.
Okay.
And, you know, you talked about these fast food restaurants downstairs from another building. Well, now the one that people hate having it beneath them, apart from fast food restaurants, is vape shops.
Oh, right.
Like, you know.
Now, do they hate them because of all the vapor that or because of the people they attract, or is it just on principle?
I think it's just on principle. You know, vaping is just so awful. It really ruins people's health.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be this huge trend now.
Yeah, and it's a gateway.
And it's really trapping young people.
It's a gateway to tobacco smoking.
Yeah. Which is horrible.
We thought we were getting on top of, but apparently it's not.
And the other really unfashionable place to have underneath the building is a tattoo parlor.
Right. Well, I'm thinking the other side of the street from this hotel that we've just, this apartment block that we've just seriously maligned, there's a fast food burger restaurant on the corner. There's a pet shop. There's a dodgy massage parlor. There's a new place just opening, a fortune teller. That's a nice addition. Mm. Just moving along, there's a
Vietnamese banh mi shop.
There's a banh mi shop, and there's the pawnbroker. And then there's a Vietnamese restaurant. There's a weird bar that never seems to be open. There's a big bar. There's a library.
Mm.
We've got everything. And a tattoo parlor.
Yes.
And a safe injecting room. We've got everything.
Yeah.
We've got
nothing
to complain about.
I guess a safe injecting room sometimes isn't very popular. I mean, that's been a very controversial place, but.
Well, it's cleaned
it's
up
really
the cross, though, isn't it? Remember, it used to go
fantastic.
Out in during the day and you just see needles everywhere. I saw one in the street the other day and I was absolutely shocked. And
yeah.
I thought, I haven't seen that in 5-10 years.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sue, here's a quote. I'm going to put a survey on the Flat Chat website. What shops would you most like to be under your apartment building?
Mm.
So what 3 shops would you like or businesses would you like to be under this apartment building?
I would like a great cafe.
Okay.
That sells really healthy and really delicious food and
right.
good coffee.
Right. And stays open.
Yes. Rather than ones that close at 11 o'clock or just before lunch, which is so frustrating. And I would like a newspaper shop.
A newsagent?
Oh, absolutely. And
but you get your papers delivered.
I know, but and a stationery, with
oh,
a stationery,
oh,
stationery
now we get,
section
yeah,
as
right.
well. So I'd really like that.
Okay.
And for the third one, I would like a deli. So I could go down and buy food for the evening. Because
you could combine the cafe and the deli.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
That doesn't give you
doesn't,
your 3.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't... You don't usually see very many cafes combined with delis, really.
Oh, I think you do. But maybe further down Maclay Street.
Okay, well, how about a nice flower shop?
Right,
that
okay.
That would be nice.
Yeah. And given that there's 0 foot traffic past our... Well, there's foot traffic, but it tends to be people jogging off to the park and taking their dogs for a walk.
Mm.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. But a nice thought.
And what will your 3 be? Bottle shop?
Bottle shop.
Bar?
I'll go with a cafe. I like the cafe idea, cafe deli idea. A bottle shop would be good.
A pasta restaurant.
I was going to say either like Frigidoria in Bayswater Road or a really good Mexican restaurant.
Mm.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I could live with that.
Mm.
We can dream. Actually, just in case anyone's wondering, there are no commercial properties underneath our building that are available. So don't even bother coming around to look. When we come back, we are going to talk about pets and Airbnb. That's after this.
Well, that's quite a dynamite combination, isn't it? Airbnb and pets.
Well, you know, just when you think things have been sorted out, This is related to a new development on the South Coast, okay? Mm-hmm. And they, much to the horror of the downsizers who have moved in, who make up most of the people there. Some people have, because it's a seaside town, they obviously they want to do Airbnb, some of them. And the downsizers who are on the committee have been caught.
The owner-occupiers.
Yeah, they've been caught unawares. They didn't. Some of them thought that there weren't going to be any short-term lets in the building. And then the developer put four of their unsold apartments on Airbnb, so they soon smartened up to that idea.
Yeah.
But now this thing has come up where there's one company. There's one company that we've actually come across several times in various discussions about this, and they're called Made Comfy. And we actually know the people vicariously who run it. And they seem to be really responsible and responsive to the owner's concerns. But there's another company that operates down there who really don't give a damn about.
Apparently.
Allegedly. Well, you know, they were told you've started doing rentals, but the law says you've got, and this is a law, not a bylaw, the law says you've got to give 21 days notice of change of use. The guy says, oh yeah, we sent the email. Well, we never received the email. Oh, well, we sent it. Well, could you check your sent file? No, I'm too busy because my business is expanding so rapidly. He's actually sent this.
Wow.
Too busy to check his sent file. So I'm thinking, you're a liar, mate. You never sent this. And you don't care. You think it's just a bunch of doddery old people who don't understand strata or anything like that, and you can just run rings around them. Well, he's about to find out that is not true.
Oh, good.
Because he's been advertising his properties as pet-friendly.
All right. But the building is pet-friendly, isn't it?
The building is pet-friendly, but they are not strange dog-friendly.
Okay, so it's just for resident owners, really. Well, there's pet-friendly.
I think it's a 21-day notice. If you're going to bring a pet into the building, you have to let the committee know 21 days in advance so that they can at least assess whether or not it's going to be okay. Now, given that the law has changed dramatically over the past few years, so it's very difficult to stop pets from coming into a building. But there are circumstances where you might want to do that. For instance, if it was a dangerous dog or an aggressive dog or something like that, or a cat that was going to roam around and kill wild animals, you would want to not have that.
Or a dog that was going to be really noisy.
Yeah.
Out of control.
Yeah. So, you know, and if people are bringing a dog in and then spending all day at the beach without the dog and the dog is barking all day, you want to be able to control that.
Mm.
So they have, the committee in this building have told this company, you've got to stop advertising these properties as pet friendly.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because they're not. And he has come back and said, basically, oh, I know my rights and you've got no idea and this is going to ruin my business. This is the same business that is growing so rapidly that he doesn't have time to check his sent emails. And you could get the sense, I mean, we've been round the traps a few times with Strata and Airbnb. You get the sense that this guy is just saying, I don't give a stuff what you want. I'm going to do what I like because I'm in this to make money, not to make people happy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out. But what do you think? Do you think you can ban pets from Airbnb?
Absolutely. Because...
And I say Airbnb, I mean short-term rentals generally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I mean, all buildings that have pets, nearly all of them have a policy that you have to register your pet.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I... you know, got a new cat, I'd have to show a photo of the cat.
Yeah.
Tell them how
what breed it was.
Yeah.
And that it was neutered and...
That's right. And that it had been injected, against cat flu and stuff, so it couldn't affect anybody else. And tell them that I was a responsible owner. Tell them a little bit about the cat as well.
Yeah.
So if somebody is just rocking up on holiday, you know, they're not going to be able to register their pet.
And they don't care.
Yeah. So it's up to the person, up to the owners of the apartments to say, we are responsible owners and we are not going to allow
A strange animal.
An agent.
Right.
To advertise our building as pet friendly, because it's not pet friendly to non-residents.
It's not universally.
That's right.
It's going to be interesting, because this guy sounds like, from the initial dealings with him, he sounds like a clown. And he's obviously thinking, I can just do what I want and they can't stop me. And the residents of this building can look forward to some interesting days in the tribunal when they're having to deal with clown features. And he sounds like the kind of person, I know you can't judge people until you've met them and had to deal with them, but he sounds like exactly the kind of person who will push this as far as they can just to be an irritation. And then back off at the last minute and go, all right, okay, I'm going to take off the thing that is pet friendly, but then probably still allow dogs to come in. You know, one of these people who says, well, sue me.
Yeah.
And then gets upset when you do.
But, you know, if I had a dog, and I don't, like if I was going on holiday, I'd stay in a hotel that allows dogs. It wouldn't actually occur to me to rent an apartment and just assume that it was pet friendly. You know.
No, but people are weird. And finally, talking about people going on holiday.
Yes, lock up and leave.
Well, we've changed the name.
Oh.
We call it Great Escapes because it takes up less room in the headline. We've been trying to work out what is it that Flat Chat readers want to do on holiday. Okay, and we've kind of narrowed it down to three things. One of them is hotel deals in the country, so they can just go for a weekend or something, have a nice time. Or even better, go midweek when it's a bit cheaper. Or it's interesting tours that aren't too far away. Like Sri Lanka was got a lot of readers.
Okay.
A tour of Sri Lanka. Or Japan is another one. And then, of course, there are cruises. Which is just like living in an apartment, except you wake up in a different place every day.
And it's kind of like an apartment building, but horizontal.
Yes.
Really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. In fact, somebody said if you tilted one of these cruise ships on its side, it would basically be...
Yes, but that's not advisable.
No, everybody would fall out. So that's, have a look. It's called Great Escapes. It's on the Flat Chat website. And we're growing in numbers of subscribers to our travel website, Mild Rover, which is the number of subscribers is like quadrupled in the past couple of weeks. So we're starting to build up a bit of a community there, which is nice, which is what we're all about.
Yeah. So write to us and tell us what you think.
Yes. And do the survey about what shops, kind of shops you'd like underneath your building. And then next week, maybe we'll do what you'd really wouldn't like.
I wouldn't like a cheese shop. I love cheese, but I would put on so much weight because I want to buy cheese all the time. There we go.
Right. There you go. What about a massage place? A legitimate one. Nice. That'd be nice.
Yeah. That'd be quite good.
Yeah. A combination of cheese and massage is not good. Trust me. Thanks, Sue.
Pleasure, Jimmy.
Coming in at this late notice this week and contributing a lot to the podcast. And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.